We rolling?
Yeah.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all so much for coming. Welcome to the Committee on Environment meeting. Apologize for the slight delay, but thanks to Chris for the fast turnaround. The last committee meeting went a little bit long, so thank you all for coming. We have a quorum. I notice, for the record, we have Legislator Kaplowitz, Legislator Testa, Legislator Myers, Legislator Rogowski. On our agenda today, we have the County Deer Management Program. We're going to get an update on that have a conversation about lessons learned and next steps. I would like to add one other thing here, a second item. You know, we passed a resolution calling on the Public Service Commission to call on Con Ed to put on hiatus the extension line scorched earth policy, for lack of a better term, Legislator Kaplowitz delivered that personally. And we have their response where they basically missed the point, to put it bluntly. So we will save some minutes at the end of this meeting for a discussion on potential next steps on that. So let's just be sure to save some time. I also want you to know in your packets is something that you should all take a look at. We won't be discussing today, but it is certainly in terms of environmental game changers, it was certainly one, you know, regardless of how one may stand on Indian Point. Over the weekend, the DEC ruled against Indian Point's water permit, which is huge, huge, huge announcement. Essentially, what that means is that Indian Point will have to spend $1 billion building a cooling tower to be in accordance with the Clean Water Act, or it could impact their license. So this is something that we're going to monitor. I think we probably should have a conversation about this in the near future. But there's an article from the New York Times to give you all a little bit of background. And again, regardless of your view on Indian Point, this is a major ruling and a major game changer. So I wanted you to be aware of that. All right. So with us we have John Baker from the Parks Department. Welcome.
Hi there.
Do you have anybody else from your group you'd
like
to have with you?
Yes, I do. Actually, if I can introduce some
sure,
people,
please.
Mr. Chairman. We have Beth Herr with us, who is our program administrator for the Conservation Division. We have Dan Atchison, who is our assistant curator, who pretty much ran the deer program for us this year. We have Bill Greenwalt, who was the chairman of the Citizens Task Force on White-tailed Deer and Forest Regeneration. Here with us, he is also the chairman of the Parks Board. We also have with us Bill Harding today, who is the executive director of the Watershed Council for the Department of State. We have Doug Erickson here as well, who is the president of the Westchester Bow Hunters Association. And I would like to recognize they are not here today, but they have been great help in the county parks putting this program together. And that would be Rod Christie, who's the executive director of the Mayanus River Gorge Preserve, and Kevin Clark, who is a wildlife biologist for the Department of DEC, as well as Steve Cook, who is a retired DEC conservation officer. And
this is a his computer. We also have a member of the Rye City Council with us.
Thanks.
And for the record, we'd also like to just note the presence of John Powers, Deputy Supervisor of Pound Ridge, and John Peters from the Conservation Board. So with that, why don't you go into your presentation?
Sure.
If you'd like to have any of your colleagues join us at the table, if you think they would.
I think if I have a question, you know, I'll turn around and or they'll jump in. We've done this a few times.
All right, so why don't we, I know I have a few questions, I'm sure other committee members do. Why don't we allow you to go through your presentation,
mm-hmm.
and then we will record our questions, and then you know we'll take questions from individual members, and then we'll open it up to the public for questions, comments
sure.
as well. Thank you. All yours. Thank you, Chris.
I thought what I would do is give an overview of our program and what our program goals were for 2009. After the report came out in late 2008, the Parks Department was tasked with putting together a program to hunt deer in our county parks, which was something that we had never done before. And so we had three goals of that program. And one was, obviously, the foremost was to reduce the amount of deer that we had in our county parks to allow for forest regeneration. Second goal was to do it in a safe manner, not only to the public, but also to the hunters who were in the program. And thirdly was to integrate a new recreational activity into the county parks department. As I had mentioned earlier, we had never had hunting as a program in our county parks. And our program was done at two parks this year, Muskoot Farm and Lasden. And this slide right in front of us is actually Lasden. The areas that are in orange, those are the areas that we had hunted. And the hatch marks that you see, the orange striping, were what, and I'll explain a little bit further along, are safety areas that were set up that there were no hunting allowed. And this is Muskoot Farm. So in total, between Muskoot and Lasden, we were hunting approximately 655 acres. The area in violet color, which is on the east side of Muskoot Farm, one of the recommendations of the Citizens Task Force was to develop public-private relations in terms of managing the deer problem. And we had entered into a one-year license agreement with the Westchester Bow Hunters Association for them to manage this 165-acre parcel at Muskoot Farm. And as I had said prior, the hatch marks that you see on the Muskoot map are the safety zone areas.
Hey, good afternoon.
Our program ran
Hello?
From November 7th
yes.
to December 31st.
Yes.
The hunting season in New York State is October 18th to December 31st. We chose the November 7th date because that is when we have a marked decrease in public participation in our parks in regard to hunters and programs. So we waited till the last major program at Muskoot Farm before we opened the program. The program ran from 4:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. That meant that all hunters had to be out of the woods by 7 p.m. and were not allowed in the park facilities until 4:30 a.m. And during this entire time, the parks will remain open during their normal hours, which were 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And as I'd mentioned earlier about regarding the safety zones, the sign on our right, the Be Advised sign, was placed in prominent locations in Muskoot Farm and Lasden for the public to see, to be advised that there was hunting going on in these two parks. The sign on the left, the safety zone, no hunting, that was placed all around the areas for the hunters to know that they were entering an area that was not where hunting was not allowed. And that was all around the 35 acres of the most popular areas of Muskoot Farm, typically where the public go for the programs, as well as around any other structure or house, whether it be a resident that borders the park or whether it be one of our structures in our park. We ended up going through a lottery system, which was only open to Westchester County residents. And we had approximately 282 people put their names into the lottery. And we had we chose 50 hunters plus 15 alternates. And all of the 50 hunters and 15 alternates had to go through a proficiency test, which was a you had to take three of three arrows at 25 yards into a 9-inch target. And we found that we ended up having to choose more hunters because some of them could not hit meet that proficiency, which we felt as though gave our program a bit of a degree of safety that we had good hunters in our program. And we had a mandatory orientation before the program, and there's Commissioner Stout. It was done at Muskoot Farm on an evening were all the hunters, where we went through the entire program to let them know what their expectations were, and that we were asking them as first-time participants in this program that they were ambassadors for our county parks and for this program. And the program was all done from tree stands, and they had to be removable tree stands. And as part of our orientation, the tree stands were tagged with county logos so that they were we knew that those stands were in our programs. The hunters had to remove the stands at the end of every day. They weren't allowed to keep them in the trees. And the reason for the tree stands is that it's safety and that the arrow is shooting down. And that was what you'll find in most programs is that they'll be from tree stands. In our results, we fell a little bit shy. I had wanted to harvest 50 deer this year. We ended up doing 45, and I think we could have done much higher number had we started the season in mid-October. But like I said, we were erring on the side of safety. So 35, the bulk of the deer were taken from Muscoot Farm, 9 from Lasden, and 2 from the Westchester Bow Hunters area at Muscoot. The sex of the deer that were taken were predominantly female. We had 33 female taken and 12 male. We had what's known as an earn a buck program, and in order for a hunter to take a buck, they had to take a doe first, and obviously that's why the numbers are so high for the females. And out of our 58 hunters, we had 20 hunters who were successful in harvesting a deer, and as you can see that the total hours logged by the hunters were 1,811. On average, we had 6.27 days committed to the program. A requirement of the program for the hunters to be in it is that they had to give us 5 days minimum in the program, because if you don't have hunters in the tree stands, you're not harvesting deer, and that's what we were looking at. And we had two hunters who may have skewed some of these figures a little bit. They had 33 days in the program, and actually they were great to have in the program. They were good guys. And the growth and expansion that we're looking for in 2010 is opening an additional 5,400 acres, and that would be two of our largest parks, Mountain Lakes in North Salem and Ward Pound Ridge in Lewisboro and Pound Ridge. Now, it's 5,400 acres before we establish all the safety zones, and that number will drop. And we're planning those programs as we speak now, and it pretty much took us a fair amount of time to plan the Muscoot and Lasden ones. But what we're looking at for Mountain Lakes, where it would be a 7-day program, same hours as we would have at Muscoot and Lasden, 4:30 in the morning till 7 in the evening. However, at Ward Pound Ridge, because of the volume of visitors that we get, being that fall is our busiest season in Ward Pound Ridge, is that there would only be hunting 4:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday. There would be no weekend hunting at all. And we are currently investigating a culling program at Ward Pound Ridge for 2011. With the deer report estimated that we had about 63 deer per square mile at Ward Pound Ridge, so there is a high amount. And in addition, if we can't get square mile.
Oh, yeah. This is Square Ridge.
Did I? Wow,
that
was...
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm
sick of
standing.
Yeah.
They do.
He means on the map.
Per square mile, sorry. Obviously, we're looking at hunting as part of this program, but we're being realistic in terms of being able to take the number of deer down in Ward Pound Ridge to a point where we get forest regeneration. We are not... going to use all the tools that may be in our toolbox, and that would be calling in in early January of 2011.
Can you explain that? I don't understand the difference.
Culling would be, we've had some discussion with our county public safety, and it would be through sharpshooters, and it would be through a nuisance permit through the DEC after the hunting season. So we would be able to bait in Ward Pound Ridge, and then what we would do is through sharpshooters we would reduce the herd drastically.
Further, yeah.
Yes.
John, while you're on that subject, I know we're going to hold questions, but I thought the plan was to do that this year.
The plan was to do that this year, and we had we felt as though that we had a very successful program in terms of the hunt with very very little public outcry. And we felt as though that we needed to study how we were going to do it a little bit better. And the gestation period for the does was closing in on us in terms of March. So working with the DEC, and we're actually studying two programs that cull now. Vassar College actually had done a cull in January of this year, as well as we are looking at an existing program by the Department of Environmental Protection in Connecticut at Bluff Point, and that's a state park in Connecticut, and they've been doing it for 8 years. And Dan Acheson has been there already to meet with them. So we wanted to pretty much fine-tune it before we started it. And I think in terms of it's something that is sizable in terms of the numbers that we would be able to take, and that in terms of managing how we would do it, we needed to study it more than just jumping right into it. That's my presentation.
All right, thank you. Let me just say one thing. On the line, we have Mayor Peter Swiderski from Hastings on Hudson. Welcome, Mayor. Can you hear us?
Clearly.
Okay, and is Laura Simon there from the Humane Society?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Laura. How are you? Thanks for joining us. And we're also joined by legislator Bill Burton. I have a few questions, and then we'll open it up to other legislators, and then obviously to the public. You know, a lot of this was as we had discussed last year, based on learning from the Pound Ridge program that Deputy Supervisor Powers helped start, along with Bill Harding and Chief Dave Ryan and Supervisor Warshauer and those folks. This is not really a question. It's just really a an echo of support. Excuse me, Tara.
I'm sorry.
Just an echo of support for what you're saying about Ward Pound Ridge. You know, that's the epicenter, and as I'm sure Mountain Lakes is, but as someone who hikes through Ward Pound Ridge all the time, there is no undergrowth there. And for the surrounding communities, to like Pound Ridge, to try and manage their deer population is almost futile unless we take a joint approach with Ward Pound Ridge. So, you know, I'm just voicing that as support from this committee, and if there are things we can do to assist you, you know, let us know, because this is a regional thing. It's, you know, deer don't recognize the boundaries of the park or Pound Ridge or
right.
Private property.
You're correct, and that is one of the other recommendations of the Deer Task Force report, is that it's a regional issue, and we had a couple weeks ago a program at the county center on deer, and we have a number of names to go on to a regional task force, because we do recognize that it's just not within the boundaries of Westchester County. But one of the reasons we also looked at Mountain Lakes is that the town of Ridgefield has a program in a park adjacent to Mountain Lakes. So we're looking at having this regional approach and a regional committee to look at how we can move forward in dealing with this on a larger scale.
Okay, thanks. Few quick questions, then I'll open it up. In the report, you say the private license agreement with WCBA was judged not to produce the desired results. Was that meaning you just didn't get as many deer as you wanted? And would you use that same model again, or what did that statement mean?
We had opened up the 165 acres on the east side of Route 100, which is not at all used by the public. And it was a segregated area that we were able to look at having a new program that we had hunting with the public on one side, and we had management of a whole separate area on the other side. And we were looking at it kind of as an experiment in terms of How would it be if an outside agency was to do this, organization? And we hadn't done any browse surveys, as we had on the other side of the road at Muscoot, as well as what we've done in the past at Ward Pound Ridge. So I think at this point it's a little unfair to say that they didn't get the numbers. The deer may or may not be there. They were good stewards of this program, and that whole property is bordered by DEP property. And from our reports and discussion with members of the Westchester Bowhunters Association, a lot of times they had the opportunity to take deer, but it was not within our program. And within the laws of DEC, you can't take a deer on property that you are not allowed to hunt on. So to look at the numbers, obviously, too, we would have liked to have seen maybe that 2-0. But we are looking at whether or not we would do that again in the future, or we would just open that site up to the public.
And the last question I have, or one or two, and then I'll yield to Legislator Kaplowitz, a couple other. Or was yours on this point, Mike? Oh, okay. To that point about DEC, how have they been to work with? Do we need new nuisance permits, or is that just for the culling?
The DEC have been just great to work with right through the Deer Task Force. They're at the table for the 2 years. Of that committee. They have been great to work with from the standpoint of us implementing this program. They have been responsive to our needs, to our questions. They have Kevin Clark has come down to our orientation meetings. He has been a real asset for us. The nuisance permits would be for the culling, and they were willing to give them to us this year. We just felt as though that we hadn't done our homework completely on that.
Okay. Last thing I have for me, and then I have Legislator Kaplowitz, Legislator Burton so far, and then Legislator Testa. The infrared radar and the public safety chopper you mentioned in the report. Last year, the prior administration had committed that to the town of Pound Ridge, actually, for their deer census, and there was a lot of conversation back and forth. So we know that that technology can work based on those conversations. So are we at a point where public safety has committed to assist in this effort, or?
They have assisted with us that we've been up in the helicopter. There is a learning curve in regard to knowing how to read the infrared for deer. And Dan, you may be able to comment a little bit more on this. The time we went up, there are heat sources, but you might want to just add a little bit more on that.
Sure. The way it works is it's called a FLIR, forward-looking infrared, and basically the time that you need to go up is during the winter time when there's no leaves on the trees, and also when the ground is cold. As John had mentioned, deer, being living animals, are heat sources. So by going up in the winter when the ground is cold, anything that is warm will stand out. He was saying that there's a learning curve in reading the infrared film, and the reason why is because rocks, logs, other objects on the ground also absorb heat throughout the day. So something that might look like a blob and could potentially be a deer could also just be a rock or a log.
Okay, thanks. Legislator Kaplowitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any quick question here?
Can you just wait till we get around the table first, and then we'll
sure.
Hop right back to you, Peter.
In regard to the FLIR, that's
oh, okay, if it's on that subject, go ahead.
Yeah, the question is, what is that used for? Is it used as a count, or is it identification of where you might find prey?
The question was, is that used for the census, or is it used to where you would locate geographically groups of deer?
It would be used to figure out the population of deer. It would be more an estimated population of deer. The thing is that deer herds will move throughout the day. Where they're feeding at night or where they're feeding in the morning might not be where you actually see them with the helicopter.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, Legislator Kaplowitz. I also note for the record, Legislator Abinanti has joined us.
We live just north of Lasden and Muscoot. I can tell you where they've all gone. we just counted about 8 in a row. The families are moving. Are moving north.
Right.
But does it make sense? Because when you look at the map and you see the widespread geography there, does it pay to add? And I have a particular parcel in mind that's much more adjacent to the two that you've tried, and it would be the 654 acres that we just helped buy the angle flying now. Does it make more sense to try to geographically condense the effort, or are we better off scatter shooting it? And what are you finding with the deer? They're just going elsewhere, and you know, how successful is concentration better, or are we better trying to cover, you know, the big green parks that we have in the county?
Well, in regard to Anglefly Preserve, they are looking at having a hunting program in this year in the fall. I believe they're having a spring hunt program. Dan has spoken with the town of Somers on that. I think the more hunters you have within a geographic area, that will help.
Okay.
However, deer are smart, and they will know where the threat is, and they will move. And you know, through this program, we've learned that as the program has gone on, the deer were well aware of where the safety zones were at Muscoot and Lasden, and they will hold up in there.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very smart deer. Even though the report did touch upon it, and when I was chair of the environment, we spent a lot of time on it, are you going to be experimenting? Is there any opportunity to experiment with things like sterilization or some of the rollers? Can we also try to roll out some other modalities that I know the deer task force had said this was the way to go, but some other suggestions to see maybe they were wrong. Maybe, in fact, there is some value to some of the other methods.
We are continuing to look at the non-lethal aspects, but at this point in time, it's cost prohibitive.
It's too expensive.
Yes.
Are there any groups that a business that sponsor that kind of thing that would give us some ability to get into a season at just cost, or maybe even their lost leader, to try to show that it works, and maybe then we make that investment in the future?
I believe the cost was somewhere between $150 and $200 per deer for non-lethal through injections, and it's a they are doing studies at the Mayanus River Gorge on it.
Okay.
But at this point in time, I think the cost is prohibitive.
The rollers don't work. The roller near the feeder doesn't work.
We were looking at more in terms of injections to sterilize them.
The roller, I thought, was more for ticks and Lyme disease.
Just ticks and others. No, yeah. But then you could also put some of the sterilization in the feed.
That's not sterilization. What they're talking about, but that would take a lot more, about over $1,000 per deer. But
okay.
You're talking about rendering the females unable to bear children for at least a season or two.
Yes.
Birth control.
And may I also add
that's what
you're talking about.
I'm sorry, so I used the phrase sterilization, but that's
right.
Lack of procreative
right.
ability.
Birth control.
And that's
birth
very
control.
Difficult in an open herd as compared to a closed herd.
Okay.
And the deer are passing through all different, you know, landowners and so forth. So it would be... in our situation, difficult to do.
Last question, Mr. Chairman. I apologize. I saw the number of hunters. You trained 58, 20 were quite active.
Successful.
What was the, and I remember the beginning statistic, what is the statistic of then the success or failure of the program? You might have said it. I apologize.
Well,
I didn't hear that.
We had initially thought that if we had 50 hunters in the program, we assumed each hunter would get one deer. And so what we were looking at for the first year of harvest was 50, and we came up with 45. So we had some hunters who had as many as 8, Dan?
Yep.
And some who had none.
So 45 deer. How did that, you said how many were there per square mile?
That was at Ward Pound Ridge, 63 per square mile.
Well, the experiment then is, what was it per square mile at Muscoot, Lasden, and what is it at Muscoot and Lasden? Seems like the procreation is probably faster than the amount we're taking them out.
However, we took 33 females out,
okay.
Which for 33 females may end up having 2 fawns this year.
Right.
So I think the 33 deer that we took, specifically the females, definitely had an impact.
Sure, but the question is what remained and how many they had. If if you took out 33, but there are 330 remaining,
right.
who each have the same number,
right.
you've more than obviated the 33, and the problem's getting worse, slower.
What we're looking at, and studies that have come out that Mayanus River Gorge is doing, and that's one of the programs that we're looking at, is they've found that they've had a program for approximately 4 years or 5 years?
5 years.
5 years. And they are seeing a decrease in their deer. So for us in our first year, we're not going to be able to see an impact.
Really?
We don't have enough data on it. But as we get into year three and year four, we should have enough data to be able to make a hypothesis in terms of whether it's successful or not.
Anything else? We got time. I'll add you to the list.
Add me to the list.
Legislator Burton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Part of the area that I represent is the area around the Croton Dam and the Croton Dam Park Plaza, and the area that runs down the Croton River on both sides has been hammered by deer and the deforestation. And its difficulty is that it also is a virtually a commuting corridor into Ossining and along the Taconic Park Trail along the aqueduct. Because of the relative nearness of residential structures and roads and that sort of thing, I gather that area was put fairly far down the list, if not flat out excluded. Is there any possibility that this program, as you learn how it works, could be extended into these areas and some of the, frankly, the larger cemeteries in the Ossining, Cortland, Yorktown area?
I would say that as we get better at managing this program, we will look at specific parks that we have and corridors that we can address. And part of this, of any successful program that we've studied, is that you need dedicated hunters. And we've come to find that we have a group of probably 20 to 22 dedicated hunters. But as we grow the program, we need to grow the amount of hunters that we have in it and start to, whether it be a cemetery association, that we could go and present to them what our program is and some of the pitfalls that we encountered and some of the positive aspects of it, that we would be able to go out to other, whether it be communities or associations, to let them know what we're about. And at the same point in time, like, for example, a cemetery association for, the Westchester Bowhunters Association could provide names to that association, and we would have an established list of good hunters who would participate.
So this would not be managed by the county, but it could be on an individual cemetery association basis.
So, yes. So we're only managing...
You would not have a problem with that.
No, we're only managing on county park property, but any property within Westchester County can hunt by archery. So there are private homeowners who are doing it right now. And it just is a matter of that you have to, there are certain requirements in terms of distance from a structure and so forth. But, yes.
And multi-jurisdictional properties like the Croton Gorge area present from... other area from river use, extraordinary difficulties policing and that sort of thing. I would assume the same problems exist for doing bow hunting and culling in those areas, or does the state DEC take some larger responsibility?
We had from our program, and one of the reasons why we chose Muskoot and Ladison was proximity to each facility, and. In regard to, an earlier question was how responsive was the DEC, is we had regular presence of a DEC conservation officer in that zone, as well as we had, fabulous cooperation and support from the county public safety. But as we spread the program out more, and this is as we're looking to grow this program, we will have the challenges of enforcement to make sure that the hunters who are in, specifically our county parks, are within our county program. So, as we were saying earlier, it's a regional issue that all the municipalities, specifically, well, I shouldn't say north of 287 because there's just a greater problem south of 287, but I think it's something that municipalities and large property owners, whether it be through the county, whether it be through the large cemeteries that we have, and whether DEP property, is that it has to be looked at as a sum of all of the parts, just not individually.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Legislator
Kinnison. Yes. I wanted, along the same lines as Mr. Burton, have you looked at Blue Mountain Park?
Yes, we have.
That's a big park, and it runs into the Pew Park, which is a city park. So the city of Peekskill would have to participate for you to use that area, because there's a lot of deer in there, a lot of serious size
right.
deer in there.
And I keep saying as we grow this program, because we do have 44 county parks, and we look at growing the program where we have within those parks that we would have a program of the capability of the park staff, and one of them is Blue Mountain, is that Blue Mountain and the Sportsman Center are two separate park facilities but managed as one, and we were looking at expanding to Blue Mountain and having the staff there do that. And I would tend to say that would be an expansion in 2012 to add
right.
Blue Mountain.
So if a hunting club, say a Sportsman's Association, wanted to get involved with this as a sponsor to a certain area, is that something you would be open to?
We would entertain that. That's somewhat similar to what we did with the Westchester Bowhunters Association. We would have to look at how that would be managed by the group, and what with the Westchester Bowhunters Association, they were active participants in the planning of the program. They were active participants in managing their hunters, and so that's what it comes down to in terms of a level of confidence that we have in terms of having groups like
okay.
that within our county parks.
Sounds good.
You good
That's
now?
It. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Tom?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't know, did you discuss the impact of natural predators? I mean, we're hearing so much about coyotes all over the place now. Are they having any impact?
The impact that the coyotes are having are only on the young, not on the mature, grown deer. So they are taking some of the young, but it hasn't been an impact yet.
They like chihuahuas.
Right. I know. That's yeah, they seem to be going after, you know, delicacies while they've got a main course here.
Well, coyotes themselves are not that big.
No,
right.
they're small.
But I thought they were natural predators.
On the babies.
On
something
the babies.
Small. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And the elderly, frail.
Right. Do you track what's happening with the natural predators in the county?
We have had a program that we've been involved with Cornell. That they have, they've had a tracking program with coyotes, and we've been involved in that. So there are studies that show where the coyotes are moving in West.
Is there a significant increase?
Is there, Beth?
They're finding. We're partnering with two agencies, Cornell University and Miami River Gorge. One is studying stomach contents to see how coyotes are evolving to be a predator. And the other is studying familial relationships. And what they're finding when they had radio collars on 40-some deer is that the coyotes are using our parks as green space and using backyards as the highways to get back and forth in between. So, yes, we're partnering and we're learning more. And, yes, coyotes are going to be an important part of a healthy ecosystem that supports all ecosystem services.
Well,
we are looking at that.
Yeah, because I'm expecting the next step is to hear from people in the community now to do something about the coyotes.
That's right.
And so before we start to hear that, I was wondering, is there anybody out there looking at this whole thing? Is there somebody to keep the coyotes where the deer are and not where the dogs are? I don't know how you do
signage.
This, but...
Yes,
signage.
Good signage.
There you go.
Okay, Judy.
Yeah, well, that was one of my questions, because I know, and we have a trustee here from the city of Rye, there was an attack on a dog at a retirement community, which is really upsetting, by a coyote.
Right.
But I did want to also get into what happened to the, how many did you take down? 45 harvested deers.
Yes.
What happened? Would they
the hunters
harvest?
Primarily took most of them. Some of them donated to the Hunters for the Hunger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the other question I had was, other than the coyote issue, is are there any other lessons learned basically from this test? I mean, obviously, you are seeing a need perhaps to go to the culling, to the sharpshooting. Were there any other lessons learned during this?
We found that the public that had the opportunity to meet up with hunters, our hunters were good ambassadors for the county. They took the time to explain. When they had harvested a deer, they used discretion in terms of if the public was there. They would wait to bring the deer out. And we found that the interaction between the public and the hunter was very good. And we took, a good amount of time to make sure that that was true, mm-hmm. and that our hunters were taking the time to explain to the public the challenges that overpopulation of deer are having in Westchester County.
If I may, before we open it up to questions from the public, I notice Harry Stanton is here from the Transportation Department. I know we didn't ask you to prepare anything, but we're talking about the possibility of a culling program in parks, kind of like along the lines of what happens at the airport. Is that something you're prepared to speak about, even generally, what you
Not
do out
today,
of
it? But I could put something together for you.
Okay, so thank you. That would be appreciated. And to Tom, your point about the coyotes and a coyote management thing, we have a million coyotes in my neighborhood, and most are, they just do their own thing. But on occasion, when they become aggressive to domestic pets, the neighbors have gotten DEC nuisance permits, and they've had professionals come in and remove them. So, that is a possibility without a formal plan from the county. If there's a coyote misbehaving in a neighborhood that's a threat to property, animals, or humans, they can get a nuisance permit.
I was just wondering about the interaction with the deer, though, that's why I was, because you've got this natural predator there.
Right, but unfortunately, they're just not big enough. All right, I saw some hands out here. I think, ma'am, you had the first hand up.
I'll report some bigger.
Well, I might say I served on the Westchester County Deer Task Force and Jan Blair from and I must say that since the Westchester County has played a leadership role with this task force, it seems like culling has been determined as the most efficient, effective way, possibly because of the budget. But I also think that that the public hasn't really had, and others will disagree, that the public hasn't had the opportunity to hear the whole big picture. We're hearing a lot about culling. But as Michael mentioned, the immunocontraception, it's come up at certain meetings, but it hasn't really been publicized. I think the culling has been publicized more. Professor Alan Rutberg from Tufts University has a study out there where he's been successful with immunocontraception. He has, through his, I don't know if you all have a copy of that, but you should have a copy. If you don't, I can provide it. Or Laura Simon's on the phone. Where if you use the immunocontraception, they reproduce at a slower rate. Well, obviously, they're not going to reproduce. So if you use that method, it might be more expensive up front, but in the long run, you don't have to have bow hunters out in the woods or in the park, when people are walking through the parks. And there is public objection to it. People haven't really had the opportunity to really have a conversation back and forth. The county has hosted the meetings. Kind of been towards culling. I don't know that the county has really done enough study on, because Dr. Rutberg, I think Dr. Rutberg also said that if it was done through a study, it would be much more cost effective. If they did it as a study through Tufts University or one of the universities, it's much, much more cost effective than just going out and buying all the whatever you have to buy to do it. So, that's my story, is that maybe there could be a little bit more consideration taken for immunocontraception for future reference rather than just growing the program for culling. We might want to at least have the legislators consider looking at immunocontraception. And I know Laura Simon has a minority report that followed the deer.
Right, we got that with the Deer Task Force report. Thank you.
I just wanted to
bring that. No, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, everyone has the opportunity to speak. Thank you. Sir, back there.
Yeah, I'm Rich Folk. I'm the one that keeps referring to Rich Folk from the city of Rye. I was at the Conservation Cafe where they discussed the Mananas River deer call, et cetera. And sterilization came up, and that's about $1,000 per deer. And that only works in an enclosed area that near a veterinarian school, so it's not really a platform applicable elsewhere. Injections for the vaccines are $100 a pop for the vaccine, which works 2 to 3 years, and anywhere between $100 and $200 for the hunter to go out and inject the and shoot the deer with it. The questions for you, sir, about you talked about the Ward Pound Ridge cull in 2011. How much would something like that cost?
It's done by county police department.
It's done by the police department.
Right.
Okay, so there'd be no additional cost.
Right. Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. What about opening it up to Long Island bow hunters? I know there's a limited number in Westchester County. I'm sure there's some more further north, but also I would think that hunters from Long Island would love to come an hour or two, be able to hunt, take down a deer, and then go home, etc. So that would be one suggestion. I know that you have restrictions on and make sure that they know what they're doing, etc., but that would be great. We have the County Marshlands and Edith Reed Sanctuary. There's a graduate student doing a study there, and he has counted between 45 and 65 deer just on the marshlands. And that's 172 acres approximately. If you ever drive by there, you would see that what was once forest land is rapidly turning into brushland. And we would very like to see a cull being done there. I would like to say, though, that I agree that we do have to expand the knowledge base of the people. It's not about the deer, it's about the forest and the health of the forest. It came up in the Conservation Cafe that where they've done the studies, there are no saplings 10 years and under. So what basically that does is it's like taking your community and eliminating everybody under the age of 65. It's not economically sustainable, it's not environmentally sustainable. More important, there's other animals other than just the deer. There's the woodland thrush, which only nests in a sapling, so they can't nest in this area because there's no more saplings. And then finally, has the DEC talked about allowing the white-tailed deer to be placed on restaurant menus? Because that would be one great way of eliminating a lot of deer very quickly, especially for the north, and the pressure on us here in the south. In Westchester, etc. Because right now, very few restaurants serve deer because it cannot be a domestic whitetail deer. Has DEC raised that issue?
That I don't know. I can't comment on that for the DEC. That I don't know, sir.
Okay. That's it.
Let me just say, Bill, while we have you here, since you were the chair of the task force, and this program was really the recommendation, the outgrowth of that. Do you have any comment on the first year of the program, or?
Well, I think that the Parks Department, in cooperation with DEC, has done a terrific job in implementing our program. What's happened is that they've been very careful in terms of safety, and they've set up a lot of fail-safe type of situations, which in the long run, I think, are very beneficial. And one of the benefits of the program, it seems to me, has been that they've learned what works in terms of public and hunting privileges and use of the same land. And so it can be replicated, and a lot of safety measures were put in place which did not inhibit the hunting that much. But we had originally outlined essentially the Ward Pound Ridge for culling in 2010, and we talked about Blue Mountain and Mountain Lakes in the report as possible targets for the program, and also a Pound Ridge and Lassen and Muskoo. So quite a bit of it was done, and I think the results are very good. To me, the 45 to 50 doesn't make much difference. It's about the same amount of deer, and it's a good start. We had also talked about trying to count deer in the areas where we were going to hunt, and sometimes that's difficult to do. particularly without the flyover. I mean, that's one virtue of the flyover, is that you can count deer quickly. Pound Ridge was done on a foot by foot. People advanced through the forest on foot to count the droppings, and they did it that way, which is a very exact way of doing it. But I'm very pleased that it's gone forward. It seems to me it basically incorporates our recommendations, our thoughts. And Westchester has taken the lead. Rockland now has, I mean, people have gotten this report. Rockland is looking at it closely. Dutchess has a problem. Putnam has a problem. So I think that there is interest in a regional program. And so I think that people on the task force, I certainly am pleased with what's happened and the care that was taken. And I know that kind of care will be reflected in the future.
Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. We've got one other item on the agenda that we have to get to. Mike, do you want to be here for that, for the PSC thing?
Yeah, I'd like to. Are you taking
Could I comment?
Yeah, please.
It's time.
Yeah,
go. To not be able to put your hand up. So I couldn't hear what the audience was saying. We're having difficulty on the phone here. But what I wanted to say, a couple things. One is certainly, I heard you mentioning culling. That's more efficient than public hunting. However, from the Humane Society's perspective, neither is going to achieve your goal. And if you go to a cull, you're talking money, and we think it would be far more cost-effective and effective to invest in immunocontraception or sterilization. I know you batted around some figures that a $1,000 figure for sterilization may not be valid. It depends how you set up the program, what kind of veterinary assistance and funding you're able to get. But the immunocontraception is a lot less expensive and certainly comparable with culling. However, you have a much longer-term effect with immunocontraception, and we really urge you to more strongly consider that, because in our perspective, 45-deer removed in the way they were, however well done, it's not enough to achieve the goal you want to achieve, which is forest regeneration and biodiversity. So, you know, with those remarks, with that skepticism, you know, we really urge you to rethink, you know, contraception.
Laura, thank you. Thank you very much. So, all right, you know what? Let's take two more comments, and then we've really got to wrap it up. This is an ongoing conversation. This is not the last word. Ma'am, and then Deputy Supervisor Powers.
MJ Wilson from Irvington, a concerned citizen. I just wanted to make a point from one of the presentations that was done at Greenwood Nature Center on November 19, or 12. There was representatives from the Food Bank of Westchester. And they commented that in 2008, they had received 21,000 pounds of venison in the food banks that they were able to distribute to feed the homeless for the food pack in Westchester.
Thank
wow.
You.
Very good.
John.
In Pound Ridge, we're very happy that the county's now moving into reservations. It's said initially that we can do everything ourselves, and if it isn't done around us, it's a little value. A couple points. One, we're working with the DEC. They have a method of distance sampling to do deer counts, because that is obviously one of the issues, what progress they're making. And we took 114 deer this year, which conceptually you have to believe has some effect. But so we will be counting every year from now on using this method that the DEC is going to teach us. And say one aspect of it, we found that when we went to the public before we opened the program, one item of great concern was what happens when the deer that's wounded travels and then ends up dying on someone's lawn. Yeah. So we make it very much a part of our program that the hunters have to follow a deer if it's wounded. If they can't find it or can't catch it for whatever reason, to call in the police, and we make it a point to ultimately bring in trained hunters with dogs to make sure that there are no wounded deer wandering around in the county. But again,
we follow that program. We use deer search as well. And we've had them called in this year.
And we like your program very much. It seems somewhat familiar.
Yes.
And finally, we obviously want to work with you because we have some of our properties actually border on the reservation.
All right, thank you, John. So here's what I suggest we do. We need to have a 15-minute conversation on our next agenda item. As I said, this is just the beginning of the conversation and of the process and of the program. What I would like to do is, John, as you prepare for the fall, maybe we can have you and your team back for your plans, and maybe, Harry, you can come back at that point and share your experience at the airport. And again, to the public, the advocates on both sides, we'd love to have you back. And in the meantime, if I didn't get to you today, please get your comments to Chris Crane. We will enter them in the public record of this meeting because all your comments do matter to us. Now, when will you be looking at the fall program?
We're looking at it now.
All right. So what I guess what I'm thinking out loud is if we had you guys back in, say, September,
You might want to try August.
Yeah.
By September, we'll be up and running. We would have done our lottery.
All right, let's shoot for August. All right, and Harry, if you come back in August, and you put it on your calendar for August, and we'll let all of you know. And again, in the interim, questions, comments, feedback, please send them to Chris, and we'll include everybody on that. All right, thank you so much, all of those of you who came for this. Thank you for Peter and Laura joining us by phone. Thank you. John, thank you very much. Okay, our second agenda item, and folks, if you'd like to stay or if you have conversation, please take it outside just because we have one more piece of business.
That's why. Not moving directly.
Good, you got more than one.
You need it. Yeah, my problem. Thank
only
you.
Right.
Yeah, be interested. Yeah.
Sure. Well, no, we may. Yeah, I'm not sure. No, that's still the option.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. Sure. Okay. Okay, Mike.
Yep.
Do you want to? You know, this committee took the lead in passing legislation that was certainly actively sponsored by Tom and Michael and John. And, you know, this was important to all of us, the resolution dealing with the PSC. Michael wrote him a letter and hand-delivered the thing. And they, in turn, sent a letter back, which, when I saw it, completely missed the point. You know, they talk about storm outages, which were, as we all know, were as a result of the transmission lines. Distribution lines, not the transmission lines. So I know Chris Crane has and Stu and Tom and Mike, there have been some meetings. So we've got to figure out what we want to do next. I mean, I don't want the resources of this committee to be focused solely on battling with the PSC, because we got a lot of other things we want to do. But on the other hand, they clearly missed the boat here. So, you know, what if anything, do we want to do in response to this? You know, I'm open to any and everything.
We should remind them of that. They missed the point.
Marty?
It just seems to me, I mean, reading this letter quickly, it's what they're really getting to, specifically to the resolution we passed, I guess it was order one, the resolution, we are not aware of any material failure to comply with the commission requirements. I mean, they cite, you know, all this other stuff in 2005, but to our action and you know, Mike's presentation, we don't see any material failure to comply with that. To your point, they did miss it. We're saying your regulations that maybe, in fact, you know, they are followed. Need an update. You know, just the fact that those trees are lying around on the ground. I mean, if that's what their regulation says, if that's okay, and I think we went through it, we're saying that we want a moratorium until the PSC can look at their 3 or 4 year old regulations and update them. So, to your point, they did miss it completely, but they hung their hat on, in the absence of evidence, material non-compliance, the kind of we will not require to cease energy management. I don't think you said non-compliance. I don't think it ever came up.
Mm-mm.
Right? It wasn't the question of non-compliance. We didn't get that far. We just said, you know, whatever they're doing, presumably in compliance. So, I mean, at the end of the day, right, this letter...
That's the problem, in fact, isn't it?
Totally missed the point that it's the PSE regs. Kind of maybe we're just following the regulations. It's really a focus on the PSE, right, Mike? Isn't that where we're headed?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael, sorry.
Yeah, through the chair, to all your points. I hand-delivered this. I was up in Albany. Bill Burton and I...
We're still here?
When we went up on the legislative package. Sandy Gaylock was good enough to get us an appointment last minute with the PSE, the gentleman who are working on this program. When I brought up a number of points, they conceded them all, interestingly. Communications. I told them how the Con Ed really had a difficult time logging in and knowing the outages and all the rest on the distribution side. Okay, we'll look into that. When we talked about on the transition lines, the devastation, I didn't have pictures to show them, but we, from this meeting, we saw, you know, I used it equating it to some of these, you know, just blasts going through communities and trees and down and no clearing and all the rest. They said, okay, we'll get on Con Ed, we'll deal with them on that. When we talked about the rebalancing and said, look, everybody concedes that the transition lines need to be protected. Nobody's arguing that that's not, you know, not necessary. But the point is that it's too much tilted in one direction without any opportunity. And they kind of just talk about aesthetics and quality of life, and they slough it off a little bit in that letter, where we asked for time out to come up with, you know, solutions to the real problems addressed. As Marty just indicated, a rebalance, a review, which was a knee-jerk. We understand that. You know, after August 14, 2003, we understand why regulators throughout the entire Northeast of the country were freaking out, to use a technical term. I mean, they, you know, for a couple of trees potentially to impact Ohio, to then have the entire system impacted was a bad day for everybody. We get it. But to answer your question, Pete, I think maybe the suggestion is, as chair of the committee, maybe we can bring the PSC down here. Okay. Maybe we can spend some time, because we did not have them in this meeting. They've been kind enough to come down in the past, and they are our regulators. I think it would be good if instead of me and Bill Burton having to go up to Albany and try to represent everybody on our back, and we didn't have pictures with us, I mean, it was a, you know, last minute kind of thing, maybe we can go through the dog and pony again, have Con Ed here, and let's have a discussion of it. Okay. What we said to them was, we understand it, we just think the balance is wrong. The timeout gives us a chance to review it and get the real concerns out there, cull out, not to use the last meeting as an opener here, but to cull out what's important and what's not.
Sharpshooting.
Right? Sharpshooting and shoot those deer and get but see if we can't accomplish the same thing, but do it at a fair balance for homeowners who at least as their representatives told us, showed us, and continued to really underscore to us that there is a problem on the ground. And that's what I failed to perhaps signify to them with the depth that I tried, and I did the best I could, and Bill and I did the best we could. But again, I think it would be better if we bring them down here, let's have this discussion. And that might be a way to go, because that really addresses distribution, as you said, not transmission. And that was what I tried to make clear, but maybe they just didn't get it.
Does that sound like an acceptable approach to everybody? I need to apologize. I realize Legislator Ryan has this room at 4 o'clock. Tom, you had the. I'll give you the last word.
Just very briefly on this. I agree with that as far as it goes. As you're all aware, we've all been having offline discussions about what the options are. And that's a good public approach. That's one good way of educating them. I think we also have to consider some of the other options as well, which range from formally presenting a petition to them, because this is... There was some discussion whether they were deeming our resolution to be a petition. Apparently not. So there is that option for us to formally introduce a petition to them, either against Con Edison or for new rulemaking or for amending of their old rules. And I think we have to seriously look at that. While this is not a failure of county government, which is what people seem to want county government to be concentrating on these days, we are really the only government that can speak for the people of Westchester County on this issue. This is a regional issue. This is an issue that there's nobody else out there who can do this.
Right.
So by default, we really have to take the lead on this. So I appreciate everything that this committee has done so far. I think we have to just keep fighting. I mean, this is an example of a state agency that's so focused on one narrow mission that it's trampling on all of the other missions of the other parts of government, in the environment protection and the quality of life and stimulating the home values and property values. All of those things are being ignored on this one tunnel vision of only one way of accomplishing something.
All right, what I would suggest, again, my focus, I didn't know Bill was coming in here. Let's go with Mike's approach. Michael and I will work with Chris on getting them down here. Since they wrote the letter to you, Michael, maybe you and I do a joint response and invite them
as
down.
As chair of government operations,
we'll do a joint, government ops and environment. We'll do a joint. We'll work through Chris. We'll get them down here. And if that doesn't work, Tom, then we'll look at something else.
We can threaten consolidation with NYSEA going to the O&R, and then they'd be down here in a second.
Yeah. Okay, do we have a motion to close? Bill, I'm really, really sorry. Let the record reflect our apologies, sincere apologies to Legislator Ryan. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.